This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, July 16th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin meet in Finland. We're on the ground in Helsinki.
Goldman Sachs prepares to name Lloyd Blankfein's replacement as soon as this week.
Wall Street awaits testimony from Jerome Powell.
Amazon kicks off Prime Day and Netflix reports earnings.
A Republican senator says he is concerned about Supreme Court nominee Kavanaugh, plus the U.S. and North Korea held talks concerning the remains of American soldiers. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka, ahead in sports. Can the Yankees keep up with red-hot Boston? And a World Cup champion in Wimbledon is crowned.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are higher as we head into earnings season this week. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 1.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 34, and NASDAQ futures up 12.5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. The CAC in Paris, little changed. FTSE 100 down 0.4%. No trading in Japan today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was little changed, up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.5% or $1.05 to $69.96 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2%, up $2.80 at $12.44.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1706, and the yen, 112.40. Bob.
Coming up this hour, President Trump meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. The Russian leader's plane landed moments ago and is taxiing now. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern is there and joins us with a preview. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. Following the news of fresh indictments, Special Counsel Robert Mueller has changed the game for this Helsinki summit. Trump's goals for the meeting have always been a bit unclear, but now he's under pressure from Congress, including members of his own party, to finally confront President Vladimir Putin once and for all over election meddling. On the agenda, besides election meddling, we could hear about nuclear proliferation. The new START treaty, which is set to expire in 3 years, needs renewal. On Ukraine, Trump said at NATO and Brussels that Crimea is a very interesting question, and he doesn't know what will happen. So many are asking, could we potentially see Trump recognize Crimea's annexation or a potential path to sanctions relief? On Syria, especially in terms of Iranian-backed troops there, the two are likely to discuss the situation and the conflict. And finally, on oil, we learned that Putin is preparing for President Trump to bring up oil production following his tweets targeting OPEC. In Helsinki, I'm Anne-Marie Hordern, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin meet this hour, followed by a working lunch and a joint news conference. We'll bring you the latest live throughout the morning here on Bloomberg Radio.
Turning to financial news now, Goldman Sachs reportedly plans to name President David Solomon as his next CEO early this week. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Harvey has more.
This decision, possibly being announced as soon as today, according to the New York Times, would be a lot earlier than we expected. We have Goldman Sachs earnings tomorrow, so that may provide the bank a nice platform for kind of laying out some more of the details on this succession plan.
The move would bring an end to Lloyd Blankfein's 12-year tenure as the head of Goldman. The New York Times says Blankfein will stay on at the bank for an interim period following the announcement.
One of the week's big events for bond traders, Jay Powell on Capitol Hill. The Fed chairman delivers testimony to lawmakers tomorrow. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live now with details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Powell will likely face questions about the escalating trade war and how it's adding to the uncertainty facing policymakers. According to Bloomberg Economics, the tariffs should shave as little as 0.1 to 0.2 percentage points from growth this year. But those estimates don't capture how uncertainty may change corporate investment and hiring plans. The Fed must raise interest rates fast enough to prevent growth from overheating from a tailwind of $1.5 trillion in tax cuts and $300 billion in federal spending. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. In China, the economy is expanding at the slowest pace since 2016, with GDP increasing 6.7% in the second quarter. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
China's economic expansion slowed in the second quarter in line with expectations, but output was broadly stable even as the trade conflict with the U.S. intensified. Industrial output rose 6% last month from a year earlier versus the forecast of 6.5%. Retail sales beat, increasing 9% in June and stronger than the forecast of 8.8%. Fixed asset investment up 6% in the first 6 months, and that was the same as forecast. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis. Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. And in Hong Kong today, shares of ZTE surged 16%. The move comes after the U.S. formally lifted a ban on ZTE's American technology purchases.
Deutsche Bank sees second quarter results coming in considerably above estimates. The German lender says it expects to report net income of about $470 million. That's more than twice the average analyst's estimate. Shares of Deutsche Bank are up more than 7% in Frankfurt.
Airbus is announcing $9.2 billion of orders from Asian carriers. Taiwanese startup Starlux Airlines will buy 17 aircraft valued at $6 billion, while Sichuan Airlines will purchase 10 planes valued at $3.2 billion.
Separately, sources tell Bloomberg that Airbus is working on a blockbuster agreement to sell $23 billion worth of aircraft to AirAsia Group. Those talks are private for the moment and are still subject to final negotiations.
Amazon is in focus today as the company kicks off its fourth annual Prime Day. Bloomberg's John Metaxas reports.
Today's Prime Day is the first since Amazon closed on its purchase of Whole Foods. It's offering discounted poultry and seafood at its brick-and-mortar stores, plus incentives for customers to try grocery delivery for the first time. The grocery market has been hard for Amazon to crack, with sales of just $2 billion in 2017. That represents 18% of the U.S. online market. John Metaxas, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Earnings are front and center with results from BlackRock and Bank of America due out this hour. Netflix reports after the close of U.S. trading.
And the board of Papa John's is further distancing itself from John Schnatter. After his use of a racial slur, the company is evicting him from its headquarters, removing him from all marketing materials, and reviewing all ties to the founder. S&P futures at this hour up a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. More as both men are now in place for the Trump-Putin summit. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Bob. President Donald Trump says he'll be criticized for his meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin no matter what the outcome. Putin's plane has just arrived in Helsinki for the summit, and they are disembarking right now. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has a preview.
Mr. Trump says he goes in with lowered expectations because of the Mueller probe. But Bloomberg's Ross Krasny says he is saying some people won't be happy anyway.
If I got the moon, you'd ask for the stars. He said if I got Russia to give us Moscow, you would still be asking for St. Petersburg. So he basically said nothing will keep at least the media in the United States happy.
There are two sets of meetings.
90 minutes of one-on-one time together with only their translators present. So that's something that Democratic lawmakers and maybe others in the United States have been pretty fearful of.
And then another 2 hours with staff. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Republican Senator Rand Paul signaled that he's far from certain to vote for President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. In the closely divided Senate, Paul told Fox he's worried about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's record on constitutional privacy rights. Paul says he's concerned that Kavanaugh appears to support government surveillance programs that curtail privacy rights in the name of national security. U.S. and North Korean officials began talks yesterday to discuss the return of remains of American soldiers killed almost 7 decades ago during the Korean War. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the talks were productive. Bloomberg's David Tweed in Hong Kong reports.
These talks offer one of the best chances to ease tensions between the two sides as they argue over disarmament. Today they're having working-level talks on the transfer of remains held by the North Koreans and also about searching for an estimated 5,300 Americans still missing. It's not clear how long the talks will last. In Hong Kong, David Tweed, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Current and former residents of a Brooklyn apartment building owned by the Kushner Company's real estate firm say they believe that they were targeted in a campaign to push them out of their rent-stabilized homes. The firm, owned by the family of President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, converted the units in the Williamsburg section into luxury condos, selling for an average of $1.2 million. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees finished the first half of the season with 62 wins despite falling to the Indians 5-2 on Sunday as the Tribe salvaged a four-game split. Skipper Aaron Boone on the state of affairs.
We've put ourselves in a really good position with the way we've played. We've given ourselves a chance to have a special season, but there's a long way to go. And all right now is we've done is given ourselves a chance. And, you know, hopefully the guys really take this time on the break to kind of recharge physically, mentally, and it's go time starting Friday.
The Yankees will usher in the second half of the season, hosting the Subway Series with the Mets on Friday. New York is 4.5 back of front-running Boston, who took 3 of 4 from Toronto. The Mets lost 6-1 to the Nationals, also earning a four-game split at Citi Field, but they're tied for last place with Miami entering the All-Star break. What to watch for at the All-Star game Tuesday in Washington? How about All-Star starter Aaron Judge? And then Jacob deGrom will have his turn on the bump for the Mets, looking to make a good showing. Of course, it's preceded by the home run derby. Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic made quick work of Kevin Anderson, a straight sets winner, which carried extra meaning this year.
They're all special. If I can pick one, that would be probably the first one. And this year's winning because my son was at trophy ceremony, which made it extra special.
It's Djokovic's fourth title on the grass courts and 13th major. The World Cup goes to France, a 4-2 winner over Croatia. It's their second title. And WNBA Tina Charles scored 21 to lead the Liberty past the Chicago Sky 107-84. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Thanks, Rob Buschka. And the World Cup is proving money talks. Lloyd's of London successfully predicted that France would win the championship based on the insured value of the team. A study by the Center for Economics and Business Research put the French team at the top, valued at $1.9 billion. The sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are little changed to higher. S&P futures up less than a point now. Dow futures up 29. NASDAQ futures up 11. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.7% on $1.19 to $69.82 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2%, up $2.70 to $12.43.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1708. The yen, 1.1238. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Russian President Vladimir Putin has arrived in Helsinki for his meeting with President Trump. Meanwhile, Trump says the U.S. relationship with Russia has never been worse. Trump, in a tweet, is blaming the hostilities of many years of U.S. foolishness and stupidity and now the rigged witch hunt. Baseball is now in its all-star break. France has won the World Cup. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thank you, Michael. It is 6:18 on Wall Street. Time now to get you set up for the day and the week ahead around the world. Helping us do that in New York and London, senior executive editors John McCrory and Heather Harris. And in Singapore, top editor for Bloomberg News, Shamim Adam. John, let's start with you. Vladimir Putin just touching down in Finland for his summit with Donald Trump. In diplomacy, optics matter, I will argue, and we have the optics of the President of the United States of America waiting on the President of the Russian Federation.
It's unusual, John, certainly, but, you know, Donald Trump is an unorthodox president and has been since the start of his administration. The whole so-called summit is unorthodox in that the president has made it clear that his expectations are low for deliverables from this meeting.
So why have it in the first place?
Donald Trump believes that meeting with heads of state is an important act in and of itself. Even, you know, John Bolton even talked about, and Mike Pompeo both talked about, the meeting being a way of resetting the relationship. But when you look at what the two leaders might discuss, really it's only on the START program, reduction in nuclear proliferation. There may be something accomplished there, but it's really more of a dramatic meeting coming right after the indictment of a dozen Russian officials for meddling in the 2016 election. Really just an historic intervention by Russia, and now in a historic moment in the sense that of the two gentlemen getting together simply to say hi to one another.
Okay, does Putin smell blood in the water with respect to the U.S. relationship with the European Union, maybe a foe, and NATO?
Fair question, and we have Heather Harris on to talk about the European side of that. But I would argue that Putin does smell blood in the water because he took the incredible step of interfering in a U.S. election, and I would argue that Donald Trump has more to lose than to gain from this meeting.
Okay, let's move on to the world's second biggest economy. Shamim Adam joining us this morning. Shamim, China's economy is slowing. If you can call 6.7% GDP slowing.
Yes, you know, for China, it is actually slowing, but it is in line with economists' estimates. But regardless, you know, it is a worrying omen, not just for China, but for the rest of the world. We know that the trade war is already here and could escalate, and the data today confirms that not only that, but that a campaign by the Chinese authorities to slow credit growth is also putting brakes on the Chinese economy. So the slowdown may be modest for now, but, you know, but the trade war has just begun, and we may see, you know, tariffs on hundreds of billions more of goods.
And Heather Harris in London, Deutsche Bank, it has been a basket case. Is it still the case?
Those are your words. It's certainly investors, certainly some investors might agree with you. So today, for once, we actually had a positive surprise, Deutsche Bank putting out key figures a couple of weeks earlier than expected to convey the news that they earned almost more than twice as much in the second quarter on a net basis than analysts had predicted. They don't give too many details, but the corporate investment banking, the key number that everyone's looking at, actually looks pretty good. What we don't have is a detailed breakdown of how sustainable that is, and we have one analyst suggesting it may be all down to credit spreads and therefore perhaps not sustainable.
Okay. John McCorry, U.S. earnings season underway, 61 companies reporting this week, and we just got BlackRock beating estimates. At the end of the day, it's the numbers that matter, I suspect, for investors.
I think that's true. I think the stock market will have a good week given based on earnings. And Heather talked about Deutsche Bank. That fits with J.P. Morgan's results last week. We have Bank of America today, Goldman Sachs also this week. Likely the financial sector is going to report better than estimated earnings. We also have some of the FANG stocks reporting with Netflix this afternoon, and its subscriptions are rising. I think it's, you know, the earnings are going to show pretty good growth. The economy's growing, and obviously companies are benefiting from it.
Heather, back to you in London. It's the gift that keeps giving for journalists, at least. Another week, another Brexit showdown.
Right. I mean, it's only a week, if you can imagine, since Boris Johnson and Davis quit in disgust at Theresa May's Brexit deal that she's putting together. Today, Theresa May is actually at the Farnborough Air Show with a much more friendly crowd. Business, obviously, very pleased with her plans for close links to the EU. And then her trade and customs plans go through Parliament. And one of the people who quit, Davis's junior minister, who also quit last week, is now putting together a WhatsApp group for the Tory rebels, which is looking increasingly dangerous now for Mrs. May.
And Shamim, let's go back to you. Remind us the company ZTE, what they're all about and why they're surging.
Yeah, so, you know, today ZTE is back in business after the U.S. formally lifted a ban on its purchases of American technology. But it's come, you know, at a massive cost for the company. You know, in return for lifting the ban, ZTE had to pay over $1.4 billion in penalties. It had to replace its entire board, and it had to agree to let the U.S. appoint some compliance overseers to monitor its business. But that's not all for it. I mean, so, you know, there's more to come for it.
And John McCorry, I'll finish up with you in about 30 seconds. Mr. Powell heads to Washington. What can he expect?
Well, he's testifying before the Senate Banking Committee and the House Financial Services Committee, his semiannual testimony. He's likely to thread the needle between raising rates to make certain that inflation doesn't get out of control, but having policy that supports continued economic growth, and so far, so good.
Thanks to everybody, senior executive editors John McCrory, Heather Harris, and in Singapore, the top editor for Bloomberg News, Shamim Adam. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are mostly higher as we begin a new trading week. Japan's Nikkei was closed for a holiday and oil is falling as Saudi Arabia is said to offer extra crude supplies to some customers while the U.S. considers tapping into its emergency stockpiles. Checking oil right now, lower, down 1.6% at $1.13 to $69.88 a barrel.
BlackRock is out with quarterly results. Earnings per share topped estimates, but net ETF inflows for BlackRock came in at about half of last quarter's level.
Netflix reports after the close of U.S. trading today. Greg Jarrett has a preview from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The main question hanging over Netflix's second quarter results, much like the first, is whether the company can add enough streaming subscribers to add investors whose bullish bets have made the stock the second best performer in the S&P this year. Wall Street's looking for second quarter total subscriber net additions of 1.22 million in the U.S., 5.08 million internationally. Netflix forecasts 1.2 million domestically and 5 million globally. In San Francisco, I'm Greg Jarrett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Greg. Investors will also be watching for retail sales before the opening bell. Their forecast to rise for a fifth straight month, up 0.5%.
China's gross domestic product increased 6.7% in the second quarter from a year earlier. That was the slowest pace since 2016 and down slightly from the previous quarter.
The New York Times is reporting Goldman Sachs early this week plans to name company president David Solomon as its next CEO.
Shares of Deutsche Bank are up more than 6%. The German lender says it sees results considerably above analyst estimates.
And Amazon kicks off its fourth annual Prime Day. According to CoreSide Research, the 36-hour event is poised to reach $3.4 billion in total global sales.
And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. That's time for your Volatility Index report. The VIX fell on Friday to close at 12.18. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is higher. It's up to 12.57. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning, little change to higher. S&P futures, little change. Dow futures up 11. NASDAQ futures up 6. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil again down 1.7%. COMEX gold is up 0.2%, up $2.50 to $12.43.70 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1706, the British pound $1.3263, and the yen 112.38. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Eisner Amper. Congress has passed the most sweeping tax law changes since 1986. Is your company ready? Check out the latest analysis and news from Eisner Amper at eisneramper.com/tax change. Oh, to be a witness at the Trump-Putin summit. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with word. Not too many people will witness it. Good morning, Michael.
That is correct, Bob. Good morning. Russian President Vladimir Putin has arrived in Helsinki for a one-on-one lengthy meeting with President Trump. Now, once the meeting begins, there will be no staff in the room, just their translators. They will bring in senior staff, and then later they will take questions. President Trump will meet with the president's of Russia. And then earlier he met with the president of Finland this morning ahead of the summit. At the meeting, President Trump commented about last week's NATO summit in Brussels.
I think NATO's probably never been stronger than it is today. So we had a fantastic meeting, and now we're capping it with being in Finland, and the hospitality has been fantastic.
Finland is not a NATO member, but cooperates with NATO in some operations. European Union leaders are responding to President Trump's labeling the EU foes as he prepares for a summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. The head of the EU Council tweeted that any hostility between the U.S. and EU is fake news. Republican Senator Rand Paul says he's worried about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's record on constitutional privacy rights. Paul on Fox says he's worried and disappointed that Kavanaugh appears to support government surveillance programs that curtail privacy rights in the name of national security. New York Senator Chuck Schumer is calling for the Centers for Disease to study the recent rise in toddler drowning deaths. Drowning is the leading cause of accidental death among children between the ages of 1 to 4. Schumer is asking the CDC to investigate the increase and warn parents of the danger.
They have to let parents know that this is serious. They have to let parents know that this attitude, oh, I've heard about drowning, but it'll never happen to my child, is not the right attitude.
Research by Schumer's office found that drowning deaths among children under 4 went up 11% between 2014 and 2016. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. It's time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees enjoyed a tremendous first half of the year, 62 wins, despite coming up short in Cleveland 5-2 on Sunday, earning a four-game split. Problem is the Red Sox beat Toronto, also 5-2, taking 3 of 4 and increasing their lead to 4.5 over New York. That prompts the question for Yankees manager Aaron Boone if they'll be active at the upcoming trade deadline.
Kicking tires on everything, and I'm sure making proposals and counters and all that. So I know we're going to try. It comes down to, does it make the most sense for us, not, you know, short term and long term. I think, as I've said before, you know, it takes two to tango. So if the right deal comes about, I think we'll make it.
The trade deadline is July 31st. Yankees sent 4 All-Stars to Washington for Tuesday's Midsummer Classic, including starter Aaron Judge. Mets took 2 of 4 from the Nationals despite a tough 6-1 loss at Citi Field on Sunday. New York, who started the year 12-2, are tied for last place with the Marlins. Jacob deGrom's their lone All-Star. Tennis Novak Djokovic rolled Kevin Anderson in straight sets for his 4th title on the grass courts.
Thought the first 2 sets against Kevin today, even though, I mean, you could feel that he was nervous, you could feel that he wasn't playing at his best, he was making a lot of errors, but I thought that I was very, very solid and just probably the 2 best sets I've played.
A bit more special this year for the Joker. His son was in attendance. It's his 13th major. World Cup, France doubled up Croatia 4-2 for its 2nd title. Golf from Lake Tahoe, the American Century Celebrity Championship, goes to Tony Romo, while Michael Kim blistered the John Deere Classic at 27 under par. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Rob Buschka, thank you. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
For decades, the U.S. system of higher education has operated on a unique premise. To make college affordable for a broad swath of Americans, student debt must be an almost inviolable obligation. Now, authorities are starting to question that assumption. It's about time. In the 1970s, spurred by stories of college graduates reneging on federal loans, Congress granted student debt special status. Unlike other obligations, it can't be discharged in bankruptcy unless it imposes an undue hardship. But since then, educational debt has surpassed auto and credit card debt to become U.S. households' 2nd largest obligation after mortgages. And the burden has fallen particularly heavy on the poor. Those who can't pay are relegated to a modern-day form of debtor's prison. Interest keeps accruing, so balances can balloon many times over. This is precisely the situation that bankruptcy was designed to address. Congress should repeal the anomalous status of student debt and allow it to be discharged in bankruptcy. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. A top Federal Trade Commission official wants Congress to give her agency the power to impose financial penalties against consumer credit reporting bureaus that suffered data breaches. Here's Nancy Lyons in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The request follows the Equifax data breach affecting nearly 200 million people.
The FTC does not have the authority to bring any kind of civil money penalties, so they can't fine Equifax for problems with their cybersecurity defenses. So at this point, Congress is discussing whether that should change.
Bloomberg Law's Evan Weinberger says there is broad support for this.
And there's a bipartisan recognition that there needs to be some changes so that regulators have more power to make sure that credit bureaus in particular are being more careful with people's sensitive information.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. Now 6:39 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Is it happening again? California's drought is worsening as the state moves out of the figurative frying pan of summer heat waves and back into the literal fire. After 2017 ultimately set fire records for destruction and death, more acreage was charred in the first 6 months of 2018 than the same period a year ago. This is not what its official moniker, the Golden State, is supposed to mean. California is covered with dried out brush and tens of millions of dead trees killed by a bark beetle infestation. Hundreds of miles of electric transmission lines run through trees turned to tinder and hills crowned with golden dried grass. According to U.S. Drought Monitor data, more than 85% of California's natural landscape is abnormally dry, and drought now covers over 44% of the state. It saw what could happen last year when flames consumed wine grapes, hurt avocados, and damaged citrus groves and other crops. A top fire official points out there's no way to know what the rest of 2018 will bring. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. And coming up, Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from Columbia's wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking and mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, watching Bank of America earnings just crossing the Bloomberg. Second quarter profit of 63 cents a share. Net income up 33% to $6.8 billion, helped by tax code changes and an improved operating performance. Again, this is all just crossing the Bloomberg right now. We'll bring you updates on that as they become available. Right now, let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures up 6 points. S&Ps are down a point, and NASDAQ futures are higher by five. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.83%. Energy is under pressure, and Shanghai lost 0.6% overnight. GDP was 6.7% versus a prior 6.8%. European markets are trading mixed right now, and note that Deutsche Bank beat estimates. The ADRs are trading higher by 7% in the pre-market. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing and Retail Sales, and at 10 o'clock, Business Inventories. Regarding earnings this morning, like you said, Bank of America was 63 cents, and BlackRock EPS also beat estimates. In other news, KKR to acquire RB Media. Terms were not disclosed, and Arconic gains 11% in the pre-market on private equity buyout speculation. Wrapping things up, Rockwell Automation was downgraded to sell Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo upgraded to outperform at KBW. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And as these headlines continue to cross on Top Live, we're seeing that revenue from sales and trading, both equities and fixed income, came in at $3.4 billion in the second quarter. That compares to $3.37 billion. Again, talking about Bank of America with those earnings just crossing the Bloomberg. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump says his upcoming meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin will go fine. Trump made the brief prediction today at a working breakfast with Finland's president just before the highly anticipated summit with Putin. Putin is now at the presidential palace for the meeting with Trump in Helsinki. Republican Senator Rand Paul says he's worried about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's record on constitutional privacy rights. Baseball is now in its all-star break. Yesterday, the Yankees lost, the Mets lost to the Nationals, the A's beat the Giants, the Red Sox and Orioles were winners. France still partying hard after winning the World Cup. In tennis, Novak Djokovic won Wimbledon. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, On this date in 1935, a parking vehicle changed forever for all of us. The world's first parking meter was installed. It was known as the Parkometer, and it was placed at the southeast corner of what was then First Street and Robinson Avenue in Oklahoma City. Bob, it was the brainchild of Carl McGee, and it caught on quickly. Thanks, Carl. We appreciate that. It
didn't catch on with me.
No.
it's caught me a few times.
I didn't feed the meter often. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thanks, Michael. Now, 6:50 on Wall Street, the time that we check what's going on in D.C. But today, much of Washington's focus is on what's happening in Helsinki, Finland, where President Trump is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Here to break down the summits with us is Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Good morning, Kathleen. Let me start with whether this top-level summit is going to live down to expectations, or at least the low expectations, of Mr. Trump. Not often he talks down expectations.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. It seems like Trump has, in the last, 24 to 48 hours, kind of gotten with the program in terms of what his advisors have been saying for, quite some time now. John Bolton and some of his other advisors have really been cautioning not to expect any deliverables or any significant breakthroughs out of this summit. Trump himself, before he left for Europe last week, said that he thought that the Putin part of the trip was going to be the easiest. But then since then, we've seen him kind of tried to as well lower expectations and sort of indicate that this is a chance for the two of them to sit down, but not to necessarily expect much concrete to come out of it.
And he had a rather gloomy assessment of what the state of the relationship between the U.S. and Russia is.
Yeah, he basically said the relationship has never been worse, which is quite a statement given, things like the Cuban Missile Crisis that occurred in the history, in the recent history of the U.S.-Russia relationship. I think that's another example of him kind of trying to lower expectations, or at least, be able to claim some kind of a victory out of just sitting down and talking with Putin. I think it's also worth noting that actually the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs retweeted Trump's tweet when he said the relations had never been worse and tweeted that they agree. So it's interesting. It's not every day you see the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Russia agreeing with the U.S. president.
But at the same time, he's also assumed sort of a laid-back stance here. He says he's not going in to accomplish much, and so he's going to be fine.
Yeah, he basically said, we'll be fine. We're going to have a talk. We aren't putting a lot of sort of concrete targets on the table in terms of wanting to achieve this. And so he's sounding, reasonably optimistic, but I think a smidge less confident and boastful potentially than he sounded before he left the U.S.
Now, I suspect that was also something of an answer to the concerns that have been raised about what he might, quote unquote, give away when he meets with Mr. Putin.
Yeah, Trump has been pretty reluctant to suggest that he's going to really take Putin to task, particularly now the pressure for him to do that has gone up because of the indictment on Friday of 12 Russian agents that Trump has said he may ask Putin to extradite, but that he, he's not concretely committed to that. He'll certainly get questions about that in the press conference. But I think that the president is certainly under a lot of pressure to be tough on Putin in this meeting. I think that how he characterizes it afterwards, particularly in a joint press conference with Putin, will be fascinating to watch. But I wouldn't expect him to suddenly talk a lot tougher than we've seen him talk so far.
And for all the complaining that the president does about the news media, he says in this case, no matter which way he turns, he's going to be wrong.
Yeah, he's basically trying to say that no matter what he does, he can't win, which is a common Trump refrain. In Trump's mind, nobody's a bigger victim than Donald Trump. So I think we're seeing that refrain continue for sure.
And then once the president meets with Mr. Putin, there's going to be a news conference.
Yeah, so they're planning a joint press conference for after the meeting. This is Trump. We saw him on Friday do a joint press conference with Theresa May after their bilateral meeting. Now we'll see Putin and Trump get together and do a joint press conference. I think that'll be really interesting. One of the really interesting aspects of this meeting is that the first 90 minutes is just the two of them one-on-one, nobody else in the room except for their translators. So really, it'll be interesting to see how they characterize that interaction. But, it's really we're really relying upon them to give us a sense of what they discussed.
Oh, as they say, to be a fly on the wall. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Well, as we mentioned, BlackRock is out with quarterly results and earnings per share topped analyst estimates, but net ETF inflows for BlackRock came in at about half of last quarter's level. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink sat down for a conversation with Bloomberg's Eric Schatzker following the results, and here's what he had to say.
We saw clients worldwide pause. We saw clients are confused. They're confused as to, you know, what direction the markets will go.
This is what they're telling you.
Absolutely, and I'm traveling everywhere, as you know. Clients are questioning the whole foundations of international investing, and that's the foundation of globalization. As we start entering this conversation about trade and tariffs, we're seeing clients pull back a little bit. They're waiting to see how does this play out. The backdrop is we have very strong earnings.
Mm-hmm.
First quarter, we saw very strong earnings throughout the S&P. We believe we're going to see strong earnings in the second quarter. We're going at a rate of $800 billion of stock repurchases. We have record amount of M&A. So the backdrop is we're shrinking amount of equities. We have record earnings, as I said, and yet markets are essentially unchanged.
Does that surprise you?
Oh, absolutely. If you asked me at the beginning of the year, we're going to have record amount of M&A, record amount of earnings, and record amount of stock repurchases, I would have said the market would be up 10 to 12%. And markets are essentially flat.
And that's BlackRock CEO Larry Fink on the firm's earnings out just this hour. And again, we've also been hearing from Bank of America. It reported second quarter revenue that beat analysts' estimate. Profit also beat. Investment banking revenue also coming in better than analysts were looking for. And Bank of America shares up 1.25% in early trading. Let's go now to the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
68% of Americans own four-legged friends, a paw-dropping 184 million dogs and cats, to be precise. Wild Earth, a small startup in Berkeley, California, is hoping vegan pet owners will want to share their meatless menus with their pets. With $4 million in seed money, Wild Earth hopes to be the first pet food brand based on cellular agriculture. That means fake meat for Fido. The initial product Wild Earth plans to sell from its direct-to-consumer website is a Koji-based dog treat. It's a lucrative choice, apparently, since the American Pet Products Association said dogs are given more treats than any other pet species. Koji, a fungus, is the Japanese version of baker's yeast. It grows rapidly inside tanks, along with sugar and nutrients, at the right balmy temperature. The result is a plant-based protein with a close match to eggs or animal-based meat. And that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. S&P futures up less than a point. Dow futures up 16 and NASDAQ futures up about 10. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.